for Him. And why would you do it? Why would you put your life on the line? Why might you put your child's life in danger? Why would you leave your family to go serve God in a foreign place? Why would we give up any of our treasures, our talents, our time for God? It's because He gave Himself for us. And that is what motivates us. If God so loved us, shouldn't we love one another? Romans chapter 8, and then we'll go to Genesis 22. Romans 8, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Romans 8, 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? God didn't withhold. God didn't spare His own Son, but He gave His own Son for us. And if He did that, He wants to bless us. But we need, as Jesus said, to be willing to count all but loss that we might gain all that God has for us. We'll look at a little of those things in Genesis chapter 22. Let's go to Genesis 22, the passage Brian read for us, and see how we are blessed. We are blessed because Abraham obeyed. And let's pray first again. We've been doing a lot of good praying today. Lord, they come to a very powerful passage in the words that You've given to us, and help us to absorb them and to apply them for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We are blessed because Abraham obeyed. We're going to see three things in Genesis 22. First of all, that Abraham was tested by God. Second, that Abraham passed God's test for him. And as a result, thirdly, Abraham was rewarded by God. And as we go through this, think about how God might want to be testing you to allow others to see how valuable God is to you and how strong you are for God. Think about how God tests our mettle. And then, secondly, think about how we can pass the tests that God gives us. And finally, let's think about what God wants to bless us with as we allow Him and His power to help us through the difficulties that come our way, because they will. First of all, Abraham was tested by God. Chapter 22, verse 1. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, Hini. That's what he said in Hebrew, Hini. He'll say it about three or four times in this passage. Lord, here I am, Hini. I'm available. I'm ready. It's what Moses said when God came to him after Moses had been tending sheep for 40 years. Moses, Hini. It's what Isaiah said when he was caught up to see the greatness of God in all His holiness and recognize that God had forgiven his sin. And God says, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, Hini, I'm available. I'm yours. The best ability is availability. It was interesting to hear Jim Roberts at the Rock Solid meeting last Sunday night, and Mike asked him about, you know, what was your call to missions like? And he says, I don't remember any call. I just remember when I was, you know, in high school in the chapel, and they asked me to organize some activities for the youth and to teach a Bible study. And I said, well, yeah, I'll do it. And now God is leading him to do some things globally. One step at a time. Here I am. And that's what God wants us to be. Right now, today, saying, God, what do you want me to do today? I'm ready. I'm all yours. He was going to be tested. The word test means to prove that something is strong. David was given a sword from Saul to go fight Goliath, and he said, no, I haven't had a chance to test this sword. Some of you aren't going to go hunting unless you've tested the rifle. You don't want to backfire or something. You want to test the sights. You want to make sure it's reliable. And God will test us to see if we're strong, to see if we're reliable, that he might indeed give us more things to do to glorify him. But he tests us to see our strength. And here is this great test to Abraham, a man who had had his faults. But now at the end of his life, we are going to see how Abraham had genuine, true faith and reverence for God, because this is a test he's going to pass. And as a result, we're going to see that Abraham indeed trusted and obeyed God. Here's the test. In verse 2, God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son. Now, wait a sec. Abraham had more than one son. What was the other son besides Isaac? Ishmael. And later on, he's going to have more sons. But he says, take now your only son. The idea here is the one special, unique son who is the only son that God's promises are going to be passed on to, of a land, of a line that will bless the world. In Hebrews chapter 11, the term is used, the only begotten son of Abraham. The same term used in John 3:16 of Jesus being the only begotten son of God. It means a unique and special son, the heir. And that Abraham knew exactly who God was talking about when he said, take now your son, your one special son. He knew it was Isaac. And then he says, whom you love. And from this, we learn that this was not going to be an easy test for Abraham. God was asking Abraham to take the son that he had bonded with. Isaac's now 15 years old. They spent some time together. They've done some camping trips together. They've hunted together. And now this son that Abraham's life is bound up in, so to speak, whom he cherishes, whom he's devoted to, God says, I want you to take him and give him to me and let go of him. Take now your son, your only son, the one whom you love, Isaac. And what is he to do with Isaac? You're to go to the land of Moriah. That's an interesting place to go to. In Abraham's day, Moriah was 50 miles to the north from where he was in Beersheba. We find in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 3, verse 1, that it's this mountain of Moriah that Solomon will build the temple on. You see, the Mount Moriah is the mount that Jerusalem is on. And God is telling Abraham to go 50 miles north to this mountainous area of Moriah, which will in the future be Jerusalem. And there, he is to offer his son as a burnt offering. Whoa. Yeah. A burnt offering is an offering that you give to God and you fully have it burned totally, even the bones, it all goes to God in worship and praise of His greatness. It's a form of offering allegiance and devotion and thanksgiving to God. And God says of burnt offerings that they are fragrant aromas to Him. Abraham had offered burnt offerings before. We're going to see that here, that Isaac knows the routine. Of course, he's never been asked to offer his own son before. What might God ask you to give up, to let go of, to sacrifice, to burn up, if He was to test you today? Is there something that you're holding on to that you value so much that if God asked you to let go of it, you'd pull it back? In 1990, our son Matthew, he was 10 at the time, he was in an automobile accident where a drunk driver had collided into our car. And Matthew was crushed and died. And after that, I had to struggle. God, why did you do that? And it was very difficult to let go of Matthew. It was very difficult to say, okay, God, you've taken him. You see the big picture. You allowed it. You could have stopped it. But God, that's okay. Boy, I struggled with letting go of our only son, whom we dearly love. In my heart, to let go was difficult. And God tested and continues to test our fiber, our steel, in relationship to that. And I'll get back to that in a moment, but let's look at what Abraham does. We've seen the test. He was to offer his own son to God, to let go of him. Let's see how he passed this test. In verses 3 to 12, first of all, he makes the journey. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Now, it was me, I kind of put it off. But the first thing, early in the morning, as God says, now I want you to do this, first opportunity, he gets up, he saddles the donkey, he takes two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And then notice this, he split wood for the burnt offering. A couple of things here. Number one, he made sure that all the bases were covered. There would be no excuses when he gets up to that place to offer the Isaac. He'll have the coals of fire in a pan. He will have the wood to put on the altar to light it so that Isaac would be extinguished. But this week, as I was looking at this, I said, whoa, here's Abraham, 115 years old. First thing in the morning, he gets up and he's splitting wood. And I got to thinking, man, he's just a guy. He's a human being. He's out splitting wood. This is a real event. This is a real person. This is a man, you know, who put his sandals on like we do. And God has asked him to sacrifice his own son. And he's out there splitting wood to make sure there's wood for the fire that he's going to have for his son. Very human person here. In verse 4, we find that on the third day of this venture, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. I'm sure his heart took an extra beat and he felt perspiration that's the place. It's interesting that it's on the third day he raised. We're going to see in this passage many, many parallels to a story that we know and cherish. Verse 5, Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there. Abraham apparently doesn't want anyone to stop him when he goes to slay his son. Now, here's one of the powerful statements in this passage. Here in verse 5 at the end, The lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. And here with the verb return is also the pronoun we connected to it. Abraham says to the young man, Isaac and I are going to go over to that mountain and we're going to worship and we will return. The worship involved offering his own son being burnt up, consumed. And yet he says, we're going to come back. Wow! What was Abraham thinking? When you burn something up, it's gone. It's ashes. It's totaled. There's no bringing it back. But Abraham believed otherwise. And it's not because he'd seen some kid resurrect before. Now, he had seen in his own wife a womb that was dead come back to life. So he knew that God is capable of bringing life from death. But we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith Abraham offered up his own son, believing that God was able to raise one from the dead. You see, God had promised to Abraham that his son Isaac would have descendants. And they would have descendants, and there would be as many descendants as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. And at this point, when God is telling Abraham to offer up his son, Abraham has not had a child yet. He hasn't even gotten married yet. He's just 15 years old. And Abraham is thinking, wait a sec. God wants me to offer up this child, but this child is going to have children. Well, there's only one way that God can keep his promises if I obey God, and that is that God's going to have to bring Isaac back from the dead. So we will worship, and we're going to come back. And he believed it. And the book of Hebrews says, that's faith. Wow. He believed it. What a risk he was taking. Now, let's go on here. His son typified Christ. It's interesting that passage in Hebrews chapter 11 says he received his son back as a type. You see, what's going on here with Abraham and Isaac is a picture, a rough one, of what God knew was going to take place 2,000 years later when he would offer his own son and his son would come back from the dead. All these things here picture that. And notice this next verse, we see that very clearly. In verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. You see, as they went from the two men that they left behind up to Mount Moriah, they had to carry the wood that he had split earlier that day. And who carried that bundle of wood but Isaac himself? Isaac bore the wood that would be the instrument of his death. And he walked along together with his father to that place that later would be the very place that God's own son would go to. His own son, Jesus, who bore his cross. He could only bear it so far because he was so beaten, scourged, wiped out from a night of prayer in Gethsemane. But he bore his cross. And Isaac here bears the wood, typifying, picturing what is to come. In verse 7, we find that Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, Dad, behold the coals in the pottery here would start the fire and, the wood. But we're missing something, Dad. Don't we need a lamb? Isaac had known the routine. They'd done this kind of thing before. And Isaac knew that God required a lamb or a goat. And apparently Abraham had used a lamb. And we learned from the Old Testament that Abel had the right offering, that he had an animal offering in the future. God says, I'm only going to take blameless male lambs or goats from the flock to be acceptable sacrifices. And so here's Isaac saying, hey, Dad, we need a lamb. And Abraham says, Isaac, God will provide for himself the lamb that is required for the offering. It's interesting, the offering is not about Abraham, it's about God. And that what God asks Abraham to give, God will provide that for Abraham. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. What is Abraham thinking when he says God will provide the lamb? Because the next thing we see is that Abraham is putting Isaac himself on that altar. He's not looking around to see if there's any substitute. He's going to put Isaac on that altar, and he's about to kill Isaac. And so it seems to me that Abraham is saying, God's going to provide the lamb, and Isaac, that lamb is you. Let's see what happens in this test of Abraham. They get to the place there by Jerusalem, of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Hold it a second. Abraham's 115 years old. How old is Isaac? He's the same age as about Benjamin or Nick, or Isaac Aderman, 15 years old. Now, if one of these guys was told by his dad, hey, kid, I want you to, you know, get on this altar and tie you up and I'm ready to, you know, the kid would probably say, wait a sec, you know, old man, I'm not going to do this. He could fight him off. He could run away. He's strong, young. And maybe I'm reading into this, but as I recognize this whole thing as a picture of Jesus, I go, wow. It looks to me here like Isaac, as he realized what's about to happen and that he's going to be the lamb, that he lets Abraham offer him up. He voluntarily allows his life to be taken. That's just like Jesus. Jesus says, no one can take my life from me. I willingly lay it down. Paul says he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It seems that Isaac willingly is taking the role of the lamb in obedience to his father in worship of God. That leads us to the dramatic verse. In verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And what he would have done is taken his hunting knife and put it near Isaac's throat to slit his throat. In one sweep move, it's the fastest, it's the cleanest, it's the less painful way. Allows the blood to come from the animal's body. And he was about to do it. He took his knife and he was believing God could raise him from the dead, ready to go. And he was in the motion. And that, you know, if you're reading this story, this is kind of where you're on the edge of your seat. If you're reading this for the first time with his knife drawn. And just in the nick of time, God says, okay, that's enough. God says, in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now God, as omniscient, knew that what Abraham would do. But now it was seen as reality. The fact that Abraham treasured God more than he treasured his own son. Abraham loved God more than his own son. Abraham had a fear and a reverence for God that moved him to let go what was most precious to him here on earth, his own son. What an amazing thing that is. A man willing to let go of everything and anything for God. What might it be that God would tap you on the shoulder and ask you to let go of, to not withhold from him, to test your faith in him? Now, backtracking to 1990, a few months after Matt was gone, I was reading this passage in Genesis 22. Boy, I could identify with Abraham. As never before, I understood what he must have been going through as a father to offer up his own son. And Abraham knew what was coming, and he's doing it voluntarily. And then as I got further into the passage and to this point where Abraham passes the test, oh, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because God reminded me that this story is a picture of God's own love for his son. And that God himself loved his son as I loved Matthew. And that God did not withhold his son because of his love for us. And because we needed a sacrifice, because we needed a lamb, because we sinned, and we needed someone to take the price of sin, to pay the penalty of death for us. God, who is a father, and the relationship that he communicates to us about his feelings toward his son is that of a father with a beloved son. And that God loved each of us, loved me, Rich Yates, so much that he gave his own son. And I had never seen it through the eyes of a father before, how much God loves each of us, that he would not withhold his own son from us. And it had an impact on me as I was wrestling through letting go of Matt, when I recognized in meditating on this passage and what the Holy Spirit was saying, I recognized that God let go of his son. And understanding that nudged me forward to let go of my own son, who was with God. What helped me the most in dealing with the loss of my son was to recognize that our Heavenly Father gave up his own son for us. What an amazing thing God did. And I was there on the cross, Jesus saying, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Because that pure God had to have that separation from his son because he loved us. Wow, what love God has for us. Abraham passes the test. And now God is going to bless Abraham in an amazing way. And that's verses 13 to 24. He provided three things for Abraham because of Abraham's obedience, because of Abraham's proving himself one has tremendous reverence for God. The first thing is that God provided a substitute for Isaac. Verses 13 and 14. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. And catch this. In the place of his son. God provided a substitute. And of course, the substitute he provided so we would not die is God's own Son, Jesus Christ. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's our substitute. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he calls the place Yahweh Jireh. Yahweh Jireh. The Lord will provide. And notice this at the end of verse 14. In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. What will be provided? Substitution. On that very mountain was where God had a ram to substitute for Isaac. On that very mountain, the people of Israel as a nation will be called every year to go three times to this mountain in this central place in Jerusalem and offer up animals as sacrifices for themselves so God might forgive their sins. On that very mountain, God sent his own Son. The very spot that Isaac was sacrificed, the very place that the animals were sacrificed in the Old Testament, the very spot of the temple, that very area near Jerusalem, God had his own Son come and die to be our substitute. Wow. Let's go on, because besides providing a substitute for Isaac, God provides a seed through Isaac. In verse 18, God says to Abraham, in your seed, or your descendant, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. This seed, it's going to bless the whole world. What is that seed? In Galatians 3, Paul says, and that seed is Christ. Here we have a prediction that one descendant from Abraham, from Isaac, would come to bless the whole world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God is being exalted among the nations today because Abraham obeyed, and his seed through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, was Jesus Christ, our substitute. Amazing. Oh, and one other thing that God blessed Abraham with, besides a substitute for Isaac and a seed from Isaac, is a spouse for Isaac. In verse 23, Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. And next week, we'll talk about some matchmaking. We are blessed because Abraham obeyed. Are we ready to surrender whatever God would ask us to surrender? Jesus says in Mark 8:35, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for the sake of the gospel will save it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, the sake of the gospel, will save it. Today, we're concerned, rightly so, for Christians who are persecuted around the world, who risk their lives for Jesus' sake and for getting the gospel out. And God says those who do that, they're going to have life. One other thing. There's some discussion questions there in your notes to take home with you, to work through with your family, with a friend. Number 4 is, why should we give up what God asks us to give up? Why should we give up what God asks us to give up? And again, that leads me to Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Why should we give up? Because we understand that God did not withhold his own son for us. Let's pray together as our music team comes ready to lead us in a song to prepare for remembering Christ's substitution for us in these elements together. Father, we stop to say thank you. Thank you that 2,000 years before Christ, you knew what you were going to do in giving your son for us. I pray that if there's anyone here that has not yet believed, that God, your Spirit, might open their eyes to the truth and that they might receive your substitute, your son, and have eternal life. And Lord, for us who believe, we praise you, we celebrate with you today how you gave your son for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And why don't we turn to our hymnals, hymn 366. And why don't we stand here? Surprise.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus.